Welcome to Adults Do Disney. I'm Lawrence.
And I'm Lindsay.
And we are now back from our Chinese adventure.
Yay!
Whee.
So this is the first of four podcasts from that trip. So we're doing Hong Kong Disneyland first.
Yes, and then we're going to do a quick one about Ocean Park, which is another Hong Kong theme park that is well worth going to. And then we're going to do a big two-part episode on Shanghai Disneyland, because it was incredible.
And it's very different as well to any other Magic Kingdom type Disney park.
Yeah, there's a lot of differences, a lot of unique things there.
Yeah. So the Hong Kong one, I'm a bit quiet on this podcast, by the way, because so all of these podcasts are in the theme parks themselves as we're walking around. So our initial impressions of the rides and the theming and all that, and the music and everything, obviously.
Yeah, so we're on the ground.
Yeah, but I'm a little bit quiet, and actually I'm entirely absent on one of the trips to Hong Kong Disneyland, because shall I say why?
Yeah, go on.
So I had a bit of a weird stomach issue for the first trip to Hong Kong Disneyland. I'm not going to burden you with the details, because it's not pleasant. Lawrence had to hear a lot about it. He might never get those images out of his head. But then we went on this kayaking trip. And let me just tell you first, so you don't think I'm an idiot, how much I prepared for this kayaking trip.
You
so I bought two specialist sun protection tops, long-sleeved, from the internet. I was wearing hats. I was wearing trousers. And we had factor 50 suntan.
You were slathering yourself with factor 50 the whole
time.
Yeah,
but I made a crucial mistake. I rolled my trousers up to my knees. I know. How reckless.
Yeah.
And I think it scraped off some of the suntan lotion, and there was spray from the sea and everything. Anyway, after about 2 hours on the kayak, I was like, ooh, my shins feel a bit burnt. Uh-oh. You know, normally it takes hours for these things to come up, doesn't it? But it came up within 2 hours, so I covered my legs up again, and I even put suntan lotion on top of the trousers. This is how cautious I was being.
So excessive, you would think.
And yet, that night, I was like, oh my God, they feel really burnt. And then the next day, they started coming up in the biggest blisters. Like, the first blister I got was about the size of a 50 pence piece, and I was like, whoa, I've never blistered from sunburn before, ever.
Yeah.
And I was a little shocked from that, but I thought, oh, well, ooh, never mind. And then more blisters just kept coming up until to the point where it took me three attempts to get up out of bed and get to the toilet at one point, because it was so painful.
Yeah, you were in serious discomfort for quite a lot of the trip.
I had to go to the hospital to have the blisters burst, because one of them had gotten to the size where it was about 2 inches long and about an inch wide, and it was sitting up quite significantly from my skin. And it was, oh my God, it was so painful. So they burst them and they wrapped me in bandages, which we had to change once a day for the rest of the trip.
It was such an unnecessarily dramatic reaction to 2 hours of sunlight.
It was ridiculous. And the blisters just kept coming, and they kept bursting and then refilling, and so my bandages were soaked in, like...
Okay, maybe let's leave that there.
Anyway, it was extremely painful. And so, so at one point, just after the hospital trip... I was like, well, I needed to elevate my legs, because also my ankles had swollen up from edema. And I was like, well, I'm stuck, but Lawrence isn't, and it's not fair that he has to just stare at me while I lie here. So I told him to go back to Disneyland, and he did.
Yeah, so there's a section of this one where I'm wandering around on my own, sounding a little bit lost.
I could actually spin this, like, I was lying there in pain, and Lawrence just...
Right, I'm off to Disneyland.
He just left me to go to the happiest place on the
I would like to emphasize that Lindsay gave me clear instructions to go back.
Oh, yeah. No, I told him to do it. And so, but because of that, half of this podcast is Lawrence walking around a bit lonely in the park.
Yes, very sad. But yeah, so Lindsay is a little bit quiet on this one for those reasons. And also, we were still pretty jet lagged when we got into Hong Kong. And the humidity there is so insane that we possibly don't sound as snappy and witty as we normally do.
Although in Shanghai, we've gotten our zing back. So yeah, those podcasts are full of... Actually, filth. We just keep coming up with really filthy...
Yeah, filthy metaphors. Yeah. But, you know, I think that's why you listen to our podcast, isn't it?
But this is well worth listening to. We were very lucky as well, actually. I know it doesn't sound lucky so far from what I've said, but
well,
we were lucky because
worse.
A week later... there was a typhoon, and Hong Kong Disneyland shut down for 2 days.
Yes, it was one of the worst typhoons in 20 years or something that has ever hit Hong Kong. So if we had done our trip in the other order, the reverse order, so if we'd gone to Shanghai first and then Hong Kong, we would have been hit full force with the typhoon, and there's a good chance that we might not have been able to get into the park, really, with the days that we had. So we lucked out.
Yes, we really did.
But that is not representative of what Hong Kong weather is normally like. It's normally gorgeous.
I mean, September is apparently typhoon season, but that doesn't mean you're guaranteed a typhoon. It just means that it's more likely that there might be one.
Yeah, you're going to get tropical, equatorial, heavy showers and thunderstorms and stuff, but they're normally pretty quick and fleeting.
I mean, I lived in Southeast Asia for 7 years as a young teen and child. And I didn't witness a single typhoon. I saw plenty of monsoon showers and things, but so it's not, if you're thinking of going on holiday there, don't think, oh, I better avoid September.
Yeah.
Because it's unusual that happens.
Yeah, yeah. So we arrived in the park very early, like 2 hours, I think, before the gate opened.
Yeah, because of jet lag, we were waking up at literally like 4 a.m.
Yeah, I think even earlier on that first day. So we arrived there on the Disney branch line of the MTR, which is
amazing, by the way.
Yes, it's very good.
The actual MTR, which is the subway, although it's not really a subway because it's overgrown.
Mm.
So it's a bit like the DLR in London, isn't it?
Yeah, so that's how you mostly get around Hong Kong, is on the MTR, which is the train system.
Aircon, it's super cheap.
Yeah.
It's so efficient, London could learn something.
Yes, if you are like us and used to London Underground tube prices, then get ready for China, because my God, you're going to love it.
Yeah.
And Hong Kong is a very compact city. It's very easy to get around. We were staying in Kowloon, which is basically one of the main areas of central Hong Kong, and it took us about 30 minutes to get to Disney.
And one of the things I don't think people necessarily think of when they think of Hong Kong is how beautiful it is. I mean, it's surrounded by mountains, and mountains covered in lush vegetation.
Yeah, the landscape is quite incredible.
Yeah, and of course it's on the coast, so you can see the sea from a lot of places. When you're right in the centre of somewhere like Kowloon or the island, obviously there's a lot of high-rises, but they're so characterful as well. So the whole place is just a visual delight.
Yes, it's a very visual city. And Hong Kong Disneyland sits on one of the outer islands, Lantau Island. But you can easily hop from island to island on the MTR. It's a really good place. It's very easy to get around. And there is no language barrier at all. Everyone speaks English.
And as you'll hear from the podcast, the MTR itself that heads to Disney is special.
Yes, it is quite exciting.
We won't tell you what that is. But
yes.
So because we got there super early, the park wasn't open. So we decided to explore all three hotels before going into the park. So Hong Kong Disneyland Hotel, Explorers Club Hotel and Hollywood Hotel.
So that is where we're going to go first.
Okay.
Let's go. Stepping onto the Disneyland branch line.
It's extremely cool. There's a Mickey-shaped window.
And it's got, there's pictures of Walt on here, and there's actual statues. There's like a little brass statue of Pluto behind a glass case.
Who's that? That looks like, is that Snow White?
That's Snow White. And Donald. All of your hand grips are in the shape of Mickey heads as well.
Oh, we have to take a picture.
This is such an absurd level of decoration for it.
And I mean, Walt's on a train himself.
Oh yeah, well Walt loved trains, didn't he?
Yeah, yeah.
So he'd love this.
So the picture of Walt is him leaning out of a train window.
We've just stepped off the train and the level of theming in the station alone is amazing.
And it's really grand. It's got a sort of grand high Victorian feel to it. Lots of dark green metal work.
Yeah, everything's kind of green Art Nouveau. It's quite Parisian in a way.
Don't you think?
Yeah, yeah. It looks a little bit like it's modelled on some of the kind of the Parisian metro.
Although the lampposts are quite London, don't you think?
I suppose so, yeah. It's that normal kind of early 20th century style that Disney seems to just put everywhere.
Yeah, yeah, that's it. It's sort of a mixture of...
It's sort of timeless, isn't it? We're here very early because we're keeny beanies.
And we've been awake since 2:30 a.m.
Yeah, we're dealing with jet lag by coming very early to Disneyland and just absorbing some Disney music and looking at the place with no one in it, which is quite nice at the moment. Yeah. I don't think it's not going to be very busy today, I don't think.
No, and as usual with Disney, everything looks immaculate, but obviously it's got a more tropical feel because we're
an area that can sustain palm trees and everything. Actually, it does remind you of Florida in that respect, but there's also these mountains and beautiful hills and everything surrounding this area.
There's just something uniquely Hong Kong-y about the landscape. I mean, obviously, but
yeah,
like...
Yeah, but it's quite imposing. It really imposes itself
on
the park,
yeah.
Which is lovely.
The mountains are substantial and they're everywhere. I've just noticed a hidden Mickey in the sign.
Oh, yeah?
Yeah, to the right-hand side of the thank you for visiting sign that's as you leave.
Hey.
In among the swirling bits of ironmongery, there's a nice little hidden Mickey.
Nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
Very nice.
So we were just discussing how somehow the Grand Floridian-style architecture looks really appropriate.
And we were saying, why is that? And we figured it's actually because it looks like invading white people in tropical environments.
Yeah, there's a colonial element to it.
Yeah.
It's reminding me almost of Raffles Hotel in Singapore, in a way.
Yeah, but all these little balconies and gables and stuff.
Yeah, it makes sense in a climate as well, where you can actually enjoy the balcony.
Yeah, and it's properly tropical here. I mean, you've got this... The Hong Kong Disneyland Hotel is next to this huge... Well, it's basically it's just the open sea. You can see more Hong Kong islands. It's not like it's on a lake like
it
is in other places.
It's the bay, isn't it, I think?
Yeah.
It's
yeah.
Hong Kong Bay, I believe, isn't it?
Well, I think it's Discovery Bay or something like that.
Discovery Bay.
It certainly makes more sense here than it does in Paris.
Yeah, yeah, of course, because the chances of being able to enjoy your balcony in Paris
are slim.
Minimal.
Yeah, do you like clouds? I can't get over how quiet it is.
Because it's still
because we're still here at the crack of dawn.
This feels much grander than the Paris one. And in fact, actually, it's on a scale with the Florida ones, isn't it?
I'd say so, yeah. There's some epic chandeliers going on.
Yeah.
These are the biggest chandeliers I've ever seen. Oh, and there's a Waltz Cafe here.
Yeah. Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique.
Oh, here's one of them. We're looking at a miniature house, which is a doll's house, displaying the latest and most popular marvels in old world style, fashion and design.
It looks like something you might have found at the World Fair.
Yeah.
Don't you think?
Yeah, it's got the feel of the Carousel of Progress.
Yeah, it's about that era. Have you noticed the pictures on the wall?
Yeah, I just noticed there's a little pair of Mickey shoes by this doll's bed. It's like an immaculate Victorian doll's house.
Oh, that's nice.
And there's a hidden Mickey in the rug of the... in the rug of this bedroom here.
There's a wedding dress in the corner.
Is that Belle's dress from the ballroom scene in Beauty and the Beast?
Where is it? Is it yellow?
I'm pretty sure it is. And I think that's the Beast's...
Oh,
no, it's Cinderella. That's Prince
carpet.
Charming's thing.
Look, there's the carpet.
Oh, that's very
carpet.
Nice.
Oh, and hanging up is Peter Pan's outfit.
Yeah, and the Sorcerer's Apprentice hat.
Oh, and Winnie the Pooh and a pot of honey.
This is a very good little doll's house here.
Oh, and the Art of Flying. Look at the tiny books.
Nice. The Art of Flying.
Oh, and look. The exact same house in miniature in the children's bedroom.
Oh, that's crazy. How meta. Knowing Disney, there's probably inside that little tiny model.
Look in the dog bowls. Pluto, Lady, Nana and Pongo.
All of the famous
dogs
of Disney.
Ah, this is amazing. You can keep looking at this and seeing new elements.
Simba's sitting on the stairs. There's a lion cub on the stairs. We're just walking past the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique. And when we applied for our China visas, we had to send them confirmations of where we were staying. And since we were staying in the Shanghai Disneyland Hotel, I had to send them the confirmation of that, which included information about the Bibbidi Bobbidi Boutique, which when you're applying for a really formal visa in a Chinese embassy, feels a bit silly. Just walking into the Explorer's Lodge now, which is it's more of a budget hotel.
Still very nice.
Still very nice. There's a nice outdoor pool here.
Some nice thatching upon the roof.
But it's it looks like a cut-price Animal Kingdom lodge.
It does.
Like the...
Or a mixture between the Animal Kingdom lodge and...
The Wilderness Lodge is what it looks
lodge.
Like, isn't it? But some of the theming on the side of the building is just less convincing somehow.
Actually, it's almost like they've taken a bit of the Polynesian as well.
Yeah, there's a Polynesian influence, isn't there?
Yeah. So although there's also some Indian Hindi style decoration
yes,
as well.
Yes, and also.
But also some kind of Aztec stuff.
Yeah, and that over there looks like Islamic geometric shapes
as
well.
Yeah, it's kind of confused.
It's a bit of a hodgepodge, isn't it? Oh, look, it's even themed. So
it's
it says South America and Africa.
Ah,
is this
okay.
Particular wing. So over there.
This is called the Explorer's Lodge, isn't it?
Yes. So
I suppose it's the idea of, again, Victorian exploration, isn't
it? Yeah, travelling the world so to we had exotic French, climes.
We had French colonial in the last one, and this one is more like... it's the same thing, isn't it? Put your pith helmet on and...
It's a bit of a weird thing to celebrate, isn't it, in many ways.
I suppose architecturally it's nice.
I suppose, you can't argue with colonial architecture, really. It's gorgeous.
It says, we have lots of money.
Yeah, I suppose it says luxurious, doesn't it?
Yeah.
Which is what you... If you're building a sort of very nice holiday resort, that's the sort of stuff you want to put in the heads of the guests.
It also says adventure.
It does. I mean, actually, as we approach this is becoming nicer.
Yeah.
We've got some nice Adventureland style theming. I mean, you can hear the waterfalls here.
Yeah, this is cool.
Yeah, there's a sort of thatched lodge building with lots of big picture windows and some bamboo.
Feels quite Jurassic Park, actually.
It does. These little space lanterns as well on the side.
So they're the restaurants. Do you want to look at the restaurants or the hotel lobby?
Though? Let's go into the lobby. This is much cooler inside than it is on the outside.
This is in no way a budget resort.
I don't actually think... Yeah, I think this is of equivalent quality once you're in.
Yeah. It's got the incredible height lobby with some really interesting... It's not really a chandelier. It looks like the Leonardo da Vinci flying model,
doesn't it? It's sort of stretched canvas on a sort of what looks like a mechanical bamboo flying machine.
Yeah.
And you've got the same bamboo bridge that you have
in Animal Kingdom.
In Animal Kingdom Lodge, although I think I don't think it's bamboo there because it's Africa themed, isn't it? Whereas this is slightly more Asia themed.
Well, it's everywhere, isn't it?
Yeah,
they've just combined it all because they don't have that many hotels. I think they've just sort of
they've shoved all their best ideas into one or two.
Yeah, it looks great.
This
inside is much better, but we were seeing it from behind as well. So I wonder what the front view is like.
Oh, that's a good point.
Because we walked along the water and approached this from behind, and it didn't look that impressive.
It didn't look that great, no.
Until you got closer.
The closer we get, the more we liked it, and actually inside it's pretty special. So in the lobby there's some fold-out Victorian massive suitcases, the sort of thing that you could store both your outfits, your exploring garb, and your extensive library.
Yeah, it would also become a kind of desk, I suppose.
Yeah, yes. And here you can see above each one, it says what character it belongs to, whose character's suitcase it is.
So Donald's books, he's got Birds of Paradise, obviously, Home of the High Flyers, Ducks and Birds of All Feathers, Ducks on the Run,
Ducks on the Run, the migration story.
Oh, Buzzards, Vultures and Crows, Outlaws of the West.
Yeah.
Quack, Another Bird Calls, Bumblebee, Bee at the Beach. Why are there bee things? It's Donald's ostrich.
Is it something to do with the birds and the bees?
Birds of Antarctica, birds of Europe, birds of North America, birds of Africa, birds of South America, birds of Asia.
So he's into birds, isn't he? He's very much... He's a one-track-minded individual.
And talking of birds, there's a nice picture of Daisy.
Daisy, his bird.
Yeah.
Are they together? They are, aren't they?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
She's the long-suffering.
And so in Mickey's one, he's got Duffy the bear, obviously, because that's his bear.
He's got a constellation of him and... Oh, previous iterations of him,
Oswald, the rabbit, isn't it?
Yeah, who's the other one?
I don't know who that is. Oh, Hortensia.
Oswald
and Hortensia.
I've never heard of her.
No. Yeah, she must be another early one.
There's some sextants.
I thought you were going to say something else there.
What did you think?
I thought it was like there's some sex toys.
Oh, yeah, obviously.
For his travels, you know.
Mickey isn't called Mickey
for nothing. There's some very nice oversized explorer's boots.
There's his captain's outfit as well.
Oh, yeah, his little steamboat Willy outfit.
The Donald trunk also had his fly fishing jacket that you see in some of the cartoons as well.
Yeah, this is the very high level of detail here.
Yeah.
Minnie's one is a bit more flash.
This must have been so fun to put together, actually. This feels like an art project.
It does.
To a really high level.
So Minnie is obviously into like
botany,
so she's got lots of paints.
Oh, and drawing, yeah. She's an artist.
And she's got a butterfly collection
and some bugs. She's got pinned to a board some bugs
and a nice little parasol.
Oh yeah, and she's got a microscope.
Yeah, so she's obviously a collector of rare artifacts.
I like her huge shoes.
And she's done a drawing of Duffy. Who's this? Goofy. What's Goofy got? Oh, Goofy's an aviator, isn't he?
He's flying jackets.
Yeah.
Look at his huge shoes. They've got his shoes.
So he's got some propellers, some maps of the world.
And when we're talking about their outfits, they are literally human-sized as well, but in their proportions. So his Goofy shoes look like
sort of
clown shoes,
long and clown-like. And Mickey and Minnie have sort of more stubby sort of Mickey Mouse style shoes.
And his books are Structural Aeronautics for Beginners, How to Fly, Plane Crazy, and
Great Goofini.
Great Goofini.
Which is his name on the ride in Florida, isn't it?
Very nice.
The Barnstormer, that ride.
He's got lots of maps and what's that thing?
It's some sort of spool of some sort of cable. Is that?
It's
for your kite flying. He's got some kites as well.
Yeah.
This is very good.
Yeah.
We did this hotel a disservice as we approached.
Yeah.
This is very good.
Yeah,
the standard
of something from the back and then judge it on.
Hello. The standards of all these hotels are amazing. I feel like this is a higher, much higher level of theming than in Paris.
There's so much to take pictures of that we could get quite boring.
You
I
could
think.
Get very could anal and obsessed with this.
Yeah, you could take a picture of everything, every square inch.
Yeah. Now, this is the third and final hotel, the Hollywood Hotel.
So we're approaching from the front this time, and it looks like it's a kind of pop century level. Although, it still looks pretty amazing.
It is pretty good. I mean, they've gone for a kind of slightly cartoonified Art Deco style, haven't they?
Yeah. So it's called the Hollywood, and it does look a bit like Hollywood Studios in Florida.
It's got that vibe, hasn't it?
Yeah.
It's definitely strongly deco themed.
It's very blue.
It is.
Blue and white. So it kind of has the feel of a really amazing looking swimming pool.
It
center,
does, yes.
Center.
Well, yeah, well, I mean, the most beautifully designed swimming pools and leisure centres in the world are in the deco style, aren't they?
Yeah.
So the white and the blue combined with that.
Yeah.
There's a kind of a sort of ocean liner feel to it as well, isn't there?
Yeah, but it's a little more plasticky, I suppose.
It doesn't look quite so good.
Although,
I mean, having said that,
we had reservations about the last one, and then it just got better and better every step we took.
Yeah, and by the time we got in there, it was really impressive. So let's see. I think this one is the cheaper one. We made a mistake about the Explorer's Lodge. I think that is of equivalent sort of price bracket to the main Hong Kong Disneyland hotel. I think this is.
Oh, really? It's not like Animal Kingdom sort of second tier.
Well, Animal Kingdom is considered a deluxe resort, like the Grand Floridian,
isn't it? Yeah.
Yeah. So I think that one is sort of like an intermediate one, and then this one is the so-called budget
hotel. Well, have to check out the prices actually.
Yeah. We're not entirely sure.
Yeah. It makes sense that the most expensive is right next to it.
Yeah. Normally that's how you can tell, is like the more inconvenient the journey,
the less you spend.
However, there's a shuttle bus that goes from each one. So
it's
much,
hardly inconvenient.
Much of a muchness, really.
Yeah.
And when you look out over the beautiful bays of Hong Kong, nothing feels like a hardship, does it?
Yeah.
Very nice. As we approach, it's playing Moonlight Serenade by Glenn Miller. So we're firmly in the sort of 1930s here, aren't we?
Yeah.
It's pretty classy. Again, you come in and it's pretty good.
Oh, yeah, this is nowhere near like pop century level.
No.
This is proper luxe again, isn't it?
Yeah. All three of these hotels are pretty great, actually.
Yeah.
They're pretty stunning.
This one doesn't have the huge height lobby, but it's still a very, very fancy lobby.
Yeah, yeah. It does have an ocean liner feel, doesn't it?
Mm. I like these huge vials.
There's a nice little sort of reference to the Hollywood sign at the end here. Looking out into the manicured gardens, there's a thing that says Hollywood Hotel.
Nice.
And it's on the hills like the Hollywood sign. Got some neon in here. Chef Mickey. This would be, if this was in Paris, for instance, this would be like the best hotel.
Yeah.
But then because that was the park that I sort of grew up going to, I got used to a certain sort of standard of hotel. And these ones outstrip all of them by a country mile.
Yeah. You know, it was like that when, back in about 93, when I first came to Hong Kong, we stayed in, I think it was a Holiday Inn or something in Kowloon. And that felt like unbelievable luxury.
Absurd luxury.
Yeah. They just do everything to such a high standard.
Mm. They've got some nice artwork on the walls here. This is, we're going into Hollywood and Dine, which is a diner restaurant inside the Hollywood Hotel, and they've got some very nice parody posters of famous movies. So we've got
Phobia. It looks like Vertigo, doesn't it?
Yeah. So they've pastiched Vertigo with Mickey. They've got Squeaking in the Rain with Mickey Mouse, Donald Duck, and Minnie Mouse. What's around the corner here? The Jungle Cruise. This looks like a quick service one. Bride of
Oh, that's supposed to be like African Queen.
Yeah.
Imagine the Jungle
Cruise. It says Mouse Pacific. I've seen that one before. Casa Mouse. Casa Mouse. The Maltese Duck.
His story is as explosive as his temper.
We just hopped on board the resort bus from the Hollywood Hotel to take us to the park entrance, and it's not magical enough.
It's just a coach. It's a very efficient, clean, nice...
Yeah, it's an extremely nice, clean. It smells so much like new plastic that I think it could be its first day. And it's...
It's not magic.
It's not magic. It's, you don't get the we are now approaching Magic Kingdom that you get in Florida.
Although, having said that, the MTR was so magic.
That more than makes up for the unmagical bus. So we're in.
Yeah. Oh, it's great. Obviously.
It's great. I mean, Main Street is Main Street. We're here on a lovely day.
It's a lot lower, Main Street.
Yeah. This is very, very closely modelled on Anaheim. So the station entrance as you come in is exactly the same as is in Anaheim.
Yeah. Yeah, because I think Florida can actually feel like a full-size, cartoonified street.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And look above the window there, you see Michael D. Eisner and Robert A. Iger.
Bob Iger! Here he is, he's here in the flesh.
Hello, enjoying Disneyland.
What a pleasure to talk to you again, Bob. How are you doing?
I have no time to talk to you.
Oh, okay, no, he's a busy man. He's a busy man. We can't talk to Bob right now.
Right,
the castle is so small.
It's really
unbelievably small. However, they're making this one taller. Did you know that?
Oh, yeah. When are they doing that?
Well, it looks like it started, actually, looking at it. There's some scaffolding up on it right now.
I mean, it looks good, though, because the thing is there's a hill behind it.
Yeah.
And so the scale of the castle and the hill, I think, is quite nice together.
There is something kind of nice about it. I wonder if that was a deliberate choice. Well, I'm sure it was.
Yeah, yeah.
Everything's deliberate here, isn't it?
This, even though it's smaller, it in no way feels lesser. It's still great.
It's like
no less magical.
Like you said, actually, off the mic, it's a bit closer to actual Bavaria, isn't it?
So yeah,
this style,
with the hills and, yeah.
It's like Neuschwanstein Castle is what all these things are based on, isn't it?
Yeah.
And having it dwarfed by these incredible mountainous landscapes is actually, yeah, it is kind of in keeping with the architecture.
Duffy is everywhere, by the way.
Duffy is incredibly popular here.
He's everywhere.
Somebody told us online that Duffy and his mates are actually more popular than the main Disney characters.
Ooh,
here.
Let's look at the bakery. It's got Hong Kong mooncake.
Oh, okay. We're going into Main Street Bakery now. They are big time pushing Duffy and his assorted collection of uninspiring friends.
Duffy and Cookie just came out onto Main Street and looks like a couple of cut price theme park mascots, quite frankly.
Yeah.
Safari, you find zebra, giraffe, and elephant. And this elephant is the second most feared animal in this jungle. And the first one would be this one. His mother-in-law is the most terrible one.
Wow, the Jungle Cruise in Hong Kong is much better than the Jungle Cruise in Florida.
It is. It's a bit more sinister as well.
It's more sinister. There's a lot more effects.
Should we go and get sprayed on by a tiki god?
Oh yeah, that's actually going to be quite nice. It's extremely hot today. But yeah, and there's something quite nice about hearing it all said in this sort of slightly sarcastic sounding Chinese voice. PhilharMagic. That's the same show as is in Florida, isn't it?
Yeah, it's great. It's so nice to hear the music and the surround sound.
Yeah, I could do with that being longer.
Yeah.
Just to get through more of the songs, because it just forces you into a position where you're just sitting listening to the songs on an incredible system, and you do forget how good they all are. We're about to go on the Many Adventures of Winnie the Pooh, which is a dark ride we would probably skip normally, wouldn't we?
But there's no dark rides here. Well, not no.
There's a very small number of dark rides. Notably absent is Peter Pan's Flight.
Yeah, so we're doing everything, really.
Yeah, yeah. Also, there is nobody here. It is very, very, very quiet.
All of the rides specify you have to be sober, by the way.
Yeah. I wonder if they get a large number of drunk people.
Yeah, maybe.
I don't think there's any other park that says that, is there?
kind of a given that you're not going to
Yeah. It looks like we're going to walk onto this, doesn't it?
Yeah. We should explain about the way they opened the park up gradually.
Oh yeah. So we walked. We entered the park at 10 a.m. And then from 10 a.m. to 10:30, you were only allowed to be on Main Street. And then after that, they open up each land individually.
So we tried to get into Adventureland, wasn't it?
No, it was Mystic Point.
Oh, yes.
And Toy Story Land.
So that's where Grizzly Gulch is as well. And another thing that looked quite good that I can't remember now.
Mystic Manor's there. And
oh,
Toy
yeah,
Story Land.
Yeah, Toy Story Land was it. But that's not open till 11. I reckon it's to concentrate the relatively small crowd into specific areas.
Yeah, it does make sense, doesn't it? They've got a very sneaky little clever trick going on with the on-ride photos. There's now a nice little bubble motif.
That moves.
Yeah.
So you can't get a still image of the still image.
No, you can't snap a sneaky pic on your phone because it's always slightly obscured, so you have to go and pay for it.
Right, let's go to the Small World.
That was good, you know.
Yeah, it was.
That was
better than I expected.
It's a pretty good dark ride, and it's not one we would normally have bothered with.
Yeah, neither of us have any affection for poo.
It's not one that I've got.
I said that was quite enjoyable.
And if you go to Florida, there's a constant sort of hour wait for that, isn't there?
Yeah, we just walked onto that.
Yeah. Low season. We just saw two girls taking a photo, or having a cast member take a photo of them walking into It's a Small World.
The cast member was a young male, and the ladies were six young ladies.
And they were doing the most...
He took a long time to take that
photo. Yeah, he did, actually, didn't he? He was really dwelling on that.
He was holding up the cue so he could take a sexy photo.
Yeah, and they were posing in the most ludicrous, sexy way as well. She was really sticking her ass out.
Yeah, and they were doing coy kind of Princess Diana look through your eyelashes.
Come to me eyes. Going on to It's a Small World. The guy must have taken about 30 photos on it.
Yeah, while the rest of us stood there like planks.
Yeah.
Going, can we get in the
Can
ride?
We? Can you? Yeah.
I doubt he'd have taken that photo for a couple of, you know, like us. A
couple of lumpy Brits like us.
Yeah. I'm sitting there, standing there.
Oh, sorry. No, take another one, would you? I'll stick my ass out this time.
For your safety, please remain seated throughout your voyage, keeping your hands, arms, feet, and legs inside the boat. And please watch your children. Thank you.
Nice. We're driving the boat for It's a Small World.
Yeah.
Prime position. So interestingly, there are some recognisable Disney characters present in It's a Small World here, which there never has been before.
Yeah.
So you've got, there's Aladdin and Jasmine and Abu. Who else was there? Pinocchio.
Timon and Pumbaa.
Timon and Pumbaa were there in Africa. We were just saying, I'm sure that was not Walt's intention. But they've obviously decided they need to IP everything up.
Kind of fun though. I like how there's only one man in Scotland as well.
Yeah. Oh, we're just approaching Jesse and Woody for America. You just said you thought that this iteration of It's a Small World was less surreal than the other ones.
Yeah, but I think that's just because I'm getting immune to how weird the ride is. I think the first time I did it, I was like, how does this ride exist? It's so freaking
whereas
trippy.
It's all in a day's work for you now.
Yeah, yeah. Whereas
it's just completely normalised.
Yeah, I'm like, yeah, of course. It's thousands of singing dolls.
As we stepped
all with
off
the same blank expression.
We stepped off the ride as well, and we heard there's an English family behind us. And the dad said, wasn't that great, kids? And the first kid said, I loved it. And the second kid said, that was really boring.
It's a divider.
Oh, right. Star Wars Tomorrowland takeover. Mm. So this Tomorrowland has been Star Wars-ified as well. This version of Hyperspace Mountain, the Star Wars Space Mountain overlay, is much more Star Wars.
Attention pilots, stand by.
It's more successful than the one in Paris, isn't it? Because it's not fighting against the Jules Verne.
Yeah, yeah, and you're not missing the Jules Verne.
No, because this sort of white and silver 70s design is quite well suited to Star Wars, isn't it? That was a really good Star Wars ride.
Yeah, it used extreme darkness to good effect.
Yeah, it started with about 10 seconds of total pitch blackness.
And it continued, so they used lighting in such a way as you couldn't see your own car, you couldn't see any people, you couldn't really see much at all except for the occasional burst of action.
Yeah,
from,
you got TIE fighters and X-Wing fighters, and you got some really good laser blast effects as well.
Yeah, and as a result, it was very immersive.
I feel like it used the building a lot better than the Paris version.
Yeah, yeah. Less big drops and things like that. I would have quite liked one big swooping drop.
It was quite a trundly, like you said, it was quite an old-fashioned style ride.
Yeah, well, it jerked you around quite a lot. It's a good effect, I thought, as well, because it did feel like you're in the middle of a dogfight in space.
Yeah, you feel like you're being...
just like it.
Yeah, you feel like you're being hit by blasters because of the sort of jerkiness of the ride. It's like a kind of carnival-y sort of Crazy Mouse-style ride, wasn't
it? Yeah, because, I mean, obviously, they could have had a smooth roller coaster if they wanted to, but they wanted to jerk you around so that you felt like you were in a fight.
Now, the ride vehicles and the building look exactly like the California one. Is that, does that sort of feel like your memory of the California ride?
No. I mean, this was 1989, guys. So when I went to the California one, so quite a long time ago, but you didn't have those kind of projections or those little films going on.
Oh, of course not, no.
So it was a really great indoor roller coaster. That's all I remember, really. But it was excellent. With a very long queue.
We are just walking onto everything. I mean, that was...
Yeah, this is...
We haven't queued more than... We haven't queued at all for anything yet.
No.
I think we're going to rattle through everything really quickly at this rate.
I can see why they open sections of the park bit by bit when maybe the numbers are low or when it's off-season.
Yeah.
Should we do Iron Man?
Yeah, we're going to go on to Iron Man Experience, which is unique to Hong Kong Disneyland. Very much enjoyed the Iron Man themed simulator experience, or as I call it, Stark Tours.
Yeah, because it's very much in the mould of Star Tours.
I mean, I'm not sure, but it seems as though they've actually just cannibalised a Star Tours ride and turned it into an
Although
Iron
a
Man
lot of
thing.
Work has gone into the simulation because it's basically a tour around Hong Kong.
Yeah, it's very heavily Hong Kong themed. It uses your setting very nicely, so you blast off from Disneyland. You don't have to suspend your disbelief so much because you're actually starting off from the point which you started.
I believed it. I totally believed it.
I totally believed it too. You've just put on a Captain America hat. It's quite good.
Yeah? It's leather. I don't know whether I'd wear a leather cap.
I don't know whether a leather baseball cap is really the garment for weather of this kind. It's super hot. You look pretty cool, though. Grizzly Gulch is Frontierland in all but name, isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. I mean... Grizzly Gulch is supposed to be a mine car experience, isn't it? Runaway mine car.
Yeah, and the music loop here is virtually identical to your Big Thunder Mountain music loop.
Something I forgot to say earlier about the Stark ride is how nice it was that everyone got into it. Did you notice that all the screens?
Oh, yeah. Everyone was really on board, weren't they?
And
mine
cars.
Yeah.
Some nice surprises.
Yeah, you really don't know where it's going, do you? What's it like? On Everest, you know you're going to go backwards, but on that...
Yeah,
you...
well, they build up the suspense by cutting the track off, don't they? And then you sit there for a few seconds going, well, the only way is backwards.
The only way is down.
Oh, no, we're going backwards.
Yeah, whereas that looks like you're at the top of just a normal lift hill, doesn't it?
Yeah.
And then suddenly... You just are unexpectedly released back the way you've come.
Yeah.
And then you flip back again.
Yeah.
You get blasted off by some bears with sticks of dynamite.
Yeah, they were nice.
Oh, cool. This is Mystic Point.
Wow.
So this is, I've heard, we keep hearing amazing things about this ride. This is like supposedly the best Haunted Mansion style ride, isn't it?
Yeah, it's pretty cool.
It's a very cool building. So we're entering the private collection of Lord Henry Mystic, who's collected various artistic artifacts from around the world. So instead of a kind of ghost theme, there's obviously some sort of some other supernatural thing about to happen.
I am Lord Henry Mystic. The young fellow at my side is Albert, my travelling companion, confidant, and... Oh, you are a mystic, Albert. Yes.
Oh, yes. Welcome, one and all, to Mystic Manor.
Dark ride stuff going on, isn't there?
Yeah.
That was excellent. That's probably like the last ride that Disney's done with no like movie characters in it. There's no IP. So this is actually a different day now. Lindsay is not feeling so great today, so she sent me back into Hong Kong Disneyland to do a bit more roving reporting, a little reconnaissance mission. And so the most interesting thing to note today is that in between the 5th and the 9th of September, Halloween has happened, or at least has started to happen. There's no sign of the Maze of Madness yet, but the Main Street is now lined with pumpkins. There are Nightmare Before Christmas images dotted around. There's any number of minor little bits of Halloween theming that have appeared in that short period of time. So Halloween obviously starts at some point in early September here at Hong Kong Disneyland. It's also a Sunday when I'm visiting now, as opposed to a weekday when I was here when we were here before. And it is busier, obviously. It's a lot busier. It feels like a nice volume of people, actually. It was a bit weirdly quiet and empty when we were here on a weekday. It was a little bit depressing. But now there's still very low wait times for everything. I just went on the Iron Man ride again, and it was a 5-minute wait. So it's still pretty under-attended, really. I suppose this is still off-season, even if it is a weekend. I enjoyed doing Iron Man again. Things that I noticed this time is the guy who greeted us onto the attraction was not at all fussed about testing our seatbelts, which he had been on a previous day. Normally, when you go on a simulator thing, they make you hold up your hands and you have to tug on a little strap to demonstrate that the seatbelt is attached properly. But today, nah, the guy just said, have a nice flight, and then he left immediately. So maybe when it gets slightly busier, they stop caring. Also, I noticed very nice little touch in the little safety video that comes before the ride, when you see people getting sat down in the vehicle. One of the people in the vehicle is none other than Stan Lee, of course. He even manages to cameo himself into Disney rides on the other side of the world from him. So good work, Stan Lee. I also just noticed, wandering through Tomorrowland, they were playing a sort of synth pop or synthified version of the music from The Timekeeper, or the Visionarium as it was called in Paris, which was my favorite old ride, which isn't there anymore, which was the 360 degree cinema where they kidnap Jules Verne and hang out with H.G. Wells. So there's like a nice little sort of musical tribute to that dead attraction still in the park here. Also, the music that plays in the queue of the Iron Man attraction is the Rocketeer soundtrack, which is the same music that used to play on the old original incarnation of Space Mountain, De la Terre à la Lune in Paris, which I love so much. So they're kind of peppering references to all the other parks into different sections of the different lands around the world. So it's like they're kind of creating, I don't know if that is for the fans or whether that's just things that they're doing for their own convenience, you know, recycling bits and bobs. I mean, it makes sense. But either way, for a nerd like me, it's lovely to hear those little references to the other parks. and keeping a kind of synergy and a through line through all of them. So there's some nice little details that I'm picking up on today, because it's probably because it's me on my own and I'm actually paying closer attention to all the minor things. So I'm going to have a wander around, maybe do a few things again, try some things that we might have missed before, and see what I can find. There's a parade of children. There's like what looks like a kind of school ballet troupe of kids, except that they are dancing with unbelievable precision and synchronicity. I mean, these kids can only be 6 or 7, but they're pretty phenomenal. They're better than any 6 or 7 year old kids I've ever seen. What a strange parade. I assume that must be a special event. Surely you can't have employed children here all the time. Another thing about today is it's a few degrees cooler than it was a few days ago. Like, it was something like, I think, 33 the other day. Very humid, very clear, sunny, extremely hot, really. Pretty uncomfortable to walk around in, because throughout most of Hong Kong, you've got tall buildings everywhere and lots of aircon. So you're not out in the direct sunlight very much. But on a day like today, where it's a little bit cooler, I think it's 28 today and there's some cloud coverage, it just makes all the difference. This is a lot more pleasant to walk around. Whoa, Fantasyland, much, much busier today. Full of kids. I think this is the first time I've been to a Disney park on a weekend since probably I was a kid. I don't think I've ever been on a weekend as an adult. And the queue for Winnie the Pooh today is 45 minutes, which might not be very much for a peak day, but still sounds like a lot to me. Certainly a lot for Winnie the Pooh. And Fantasyland here is feeling a lot like Florida right now. This is about a Florida crowd level we're working with here, which I imagine for Asia is still pretty low. But the difference to the absolute wasteland the other day is marked. So you know how I say that I usually don't like Halloween overlays? Well, I take it all back, because this is a lovely, lovely touch. In the entrance to Toy Story Land here, for Halloween, they have now introduced Sid's toys. So as you go in, there's the baby with mechanical spider legs is there to greet you. And then a few steps down is the jack-in-a-box with a severed zombie hand that comes out. What an inspired idea. That's really, really good. I love it. I absolutely love it. I think they should be there all the time. I always think that those toys are underrepresented. They're great. That was my favorite bit of the first Toy Story film, was all the weird Frankenstein toys. They're gorgeous. And here they are. It's so nice to see them. I really hope that this is something that they're going to start doing in Paris and in Florida and in Shanghai as well. They've all got Toy Story lands now. More of that, please. More theming of this level.
Howdy, partners. You must be new to these parts. All the toys are ready to play. Slinky, RC, Rex, Sarge, and the toy soldiers. So come on and have some fun.
That's a nice touch. On the RC Racer ride, which is almost identical to the Paris version, in Hong Kong there's a huge switch on the side which goes from off to fast when the ride starts. So I just waited 20 minutes to ride RC Racer, which is a long time for that ride, really, given that it's about 30 seconds long. I walked past Mystic Manor and Big Grizzly Mountain, and both had a 30-minute wait, so I'm not going to bother doing them again, since we've done them already. Last time we were able to just walk on and then walk around and walk on again. It really was a walk-on situation. There was no queue at all. So there's quite a big leap in the queue times today. Also, there was quite a bit of queue cutting on the RC Racer ride. I saw at least 5 or 6 people cut forward in the queue and hop the barrier, much to the dismay of people around them. I could see people saying to each other, clearly in Cantonese, they've just cut the queue. So I think here in Hong Kong, that's a real taboo, as much of a taboo as it is in the UK. So it'll be very interesting to see what kind of an experience we have in Shanghai in comparison. Also, one of the food stalls here is selling Korean squid, which is not something I'm going to be trying, because I'm not really a seafood kind of guy. But that's one of a wide range of nice Eastern options available here. I've just seen a kid having his ass wiped and his nappy changed on a public bench, just in plain view, just straight across a bench, which I'm sure is not something you're supposed to do. So there's been some worse behaviour today, I've got to say. There's been some things that were most definitely would be frowned upon, you would think. Interesting. Wonder if it's the weekend crowd. All the muggles, all the normals who don't have respect for the parks, who turn up at the weekend. Absolutely no queue to meet Moana. She was standing there having a long chat with two people. And I've just noticed that the parade is happening right now. So maybe if you're the sort of person who's into meeting characters, it's not what we do, but if you're the sort of person who's into meeting characters, it looks as though the same principle applies with regards to the parade as with regards to going on rides while the parade is on. It looks like if you want to skip the queue to meet Moana, go while the parade is parading by. I might buy Lindsay something with Duffy on it just to annoy her. I just had a teriyaki steak sandwich from the Main Street Bakery, and it was delicious. It was really nice. It was a lot nicer than I thought it would be, to be honest. I picked it up as a bit of fuel, but it was actually pretty damn good. It was 48 Hong Kong dollars, which is £4.80-ish. So it's not crazy cheap, but by Disney standards, it's not bad. And you don't really want to eat too much, to be honest, because the weather is so close and humid all the time that you don't ever really feel like scranning in a big way, chowing down on a massive meal. So if you want a quick eat, I can actually recommend the old Main Street Bakery is not bad. Big old queue to meet Mickey and Minnie as usual. I think this is at least an hour's worth of queue, probably more. So really there is no safe time to come to the park if you want to meet Mickey and Minnie. There is no time that you will be here and not have to queue, I think is the long and short of it. There's a piano player on Main Street, which I've always known was a thing that's happened in Disney parks, but I've actually never seen it in all my many years. For some reason, they just never seem to be around when I am. Maybe they only do it at weekends. So anyway, there's a nice smiley dude here playing La Vie en Rose in a ragtime style on a nice little white Joanna.
So there you go. That's our Hong Kong Disneyland trip and podcast.
So in conclusion, Hong Kong Disneyland is nice.
Yeah, I think nice is the word, isn't it?
Yeah, it's certainly a very pleasant day.
Yeah, the hotels are really great.
They're superb.
Lovely hotels, much higher quality than certainly Paris. And I'd even go so far as to say higher quality than some of the Florida hotels.
Yeah,
as well.
Yeah, because it's the level of detail. They've got some really nice touches in there. But that level of detail was perhaps missing in the park itself.
Yeah, there were a couple of unique attractions that really stood out. So Big Grizzly Mountain in Grizzly Gulch and Mystic Manor are two very interesting things that make the visit worthwhile.
Although Mystic Manor, I kind of dwelled on this for a few days, and then I mentioned this to you in Shanghai, didn't I? But it suddenly occurred to me that while Mystic Manor is obviously impressive, it's kind of weirdly colonial.
It is, yeah. It would have been nice, maybe, to not have it being told from the point of view of a British explorer.
Yeah, because he's kind of claimed all these artifacts and he has them in his manor house.
Yeah, in his big, posh, luxurious manor house.
And we like him because he's the typical sort of, oh, I'm terribly, yes, I'm British and I'm bumbly and lovely and cuddly and blah, blah, blah. And he has this little monkey who's the only kind of Chinese representative, isn't it?
Yeah, a monkey.
yeah, which, I mean, is understandable, though, from, the Chinese zodiac and everything. But on the other hand, why didn't we just go into a manor house that was Chinese, told from the point of view of, like, the Chinese fairy tales that we got a glimpse into in Mystic Manor? a tiny glimpse. Mm. Well, we saw the monkey god when we were in Mystic Manor. So why wasn't it told from the point of view of the monkey god?
Yeah, I feel like there's so many interesting stories and characters from Chinese folklore and mythology that you could easily make a more heavily Chinese version of Mystic Manor.
Yeah.
And it would have been... I would have enjoyed that a little more.
So it's interesting, though, because I think maybe it reflects Hong Kong's perspective on mainland China versus the British...
The influence, I suppose.
Influence,
of the
yeah.
British, yeah, because you can still feel the British influence very strongly in
Hong
Kong.
I think there's an affection for the British as well.
Hmm, interesting.
Yeah, whereas I think there's... a lot of fear, essentially, about the Chinese influence in Hong Kong.
Mm.
So I wonder if that's why it's from the point of view of a British explorer.
Yeah, possibly.
It's interesting.
It's an interesting debate. We're not entirely sure how we feel about that, but it's a good question.
Yeah, I mean, really, I'd like to know who influenced those decisions before, you know, being able to make any kind of decision about why that might have happened.
Also, just mulling it over as well, I think... A big part of why Mystic Manor is popular and so successful as a kind of as a ride experience is Danny Elfman's score.
Oh yeah,
yeah. Just listening back to it now, that's a really high quality ride score.
Mm.
That's a serious composer doing kind of Nightmare Before Christmas style music.
Yeah, and but it's also the projection, isn't it? Which Shanghai Disneyland uses to incredible effect.
Yes, there's a lot of projection mapping stuff in Mystic Manor as well. And the trackless ride system is always fun. So that's the same kind of ride system as you get in the Ratatouille ride, for instance.
Yeah. So anyway, having said all that, Hong Kong Disneyland. Sorry, I have difficulty saying Disneyland, which is...
This is a serious hindrance.
I also call Fantasyland Fancyland.
Fancyland.
It's just easier to say.
Oh, where are you from? Fancyland.
Anyway, Hong Kong Disneyland is definitely a one-day park.
Yeah, it's very small. You'd describe it as maybe nice, charming. These are the same sort of words that get used to describe Anaheim as well, aren't they?
Yeah, because it's lacking rides, particularly dark rides.
Yeah.
It feels a bit incomplete at the moment, which makes sense because there's lots of stuff about to happen to it.
Yeah, but I mean, given the climate, some more dark rides would be great.
Yeah.
It does feel like you are in the blistering sun and the humidity a lot of the time. I wanted to go indoors into Pirates of the Caribbean. I wanted to go indoors into Peter Pan's Flight.
Yeah, some escape from the humidity would have been nice. It is really weird they didn't have Pirates or Peter Pan.
Yeah, given that, you know, because when I first saw that they didn't have Pirates of the Caribbean at Hong Kong Disneyland, I thought, okay, you know, China has its own pirate history, maybe they feel differently about pirates, and so I thought perhaps this is not something they feel affection for. But then you go to Shanghai Disneyland and there's a massive pirate area.
And Hong Kong is it's got a history of piratical stuff going on.
Yeah, it does feel like
it's such a missed opportunity.
Yeah.
It's a major coastal port.
Yeah.
With actual pirates.
Yeah.
History, that is. I mean, the pirates have left now. it's got a piratical history.
Yeah, it feels noticeably lacking. No pirates.
How cool would that be to have a proper Chinese pirate, Hong Kong pirate
ride? That'd be very cool.
Because actually, the pirates ride in Shanghai is Pirates of the Caribbean.
But I would
love a Hong Kong pirates ride.
A new pirates ride.
Oh, so that would be
Pirates
so cool.
of the China Sea.
Without Keira Knightley leading them either.
Yeah. So it's currently a small park. It's perhaps not... I would put it as a low priority Disney park. If you want to go to Hong Kong and you want to check out Hong Kong, then definitely do, because it's a great city. And this is something that's worth doing while you're out there. But I wouldn't make huge efforts to go there if you're only really interested in going to all the Disney parks. It's not particularly...
Although if you want a great holiday, Hong Kong is brilliant. So
yeah.
I really recommend Hong Kong.
Yeah.
And the hotels are great, like we said.
Mm.
And also, of course, things are going to change. The castle is going to get much taller and it's going to have a new evening show, and that's going to happen it's happening right now. They're building it now and it's going to happen be finished in 2019.
Yeah, there was scrims around the castle. There was scaffolding on it while we were there.
It's really stumpy at the moment, whereas it's going to pretty much double...
Yeah, it's going to be really tall.
It's a proper Donald Trump at the moment. Button mushroom.
Little topical gag.
Yeah.
Also, Frozen Land is going to open in 2021. That's going to be behind Fantasyland.
Behind Fantasyland.
Fantasyland.
And it'll include a brand new Frozen roller coaster.
Yeah, so this is... It's unclear whether this Frozen roller coaster is going to be coming to Disneyland Paris as well. It looks like it possibly might.
I bet there'll be projections again. Because what's so amazing about Shanghai Disneyland, and I won't say too much about it now, but it's just an incredible mix of projection and excellent ride mechanics. The sort of thing that Universal does very well.
Yes.
So I reckon the new Frozen roller coaster will have an element of that.
It looks from the concept art to be a little bit similar to the Seven Dwarfs Mine Train, which is good as far as I'm concerned. That's a great ride.
Yeah.
And the other thing that's going to, the other major addition that's coming to Hong Kong Disneyland soon, 2023 this is, so in 5 years' time, there's going to be a huge new Marvel presence as well, a new Marvel land behind the Iron Man experience, which they have already. And that is going to have at least one major big old attraction
and
there as well.
And once that's all done, it will be a proper park.
Yeah, yeah. I think then it will be definitely worth going to. But at the moment, it's just...
It's got two standout rides, and two standout rides is not enough.
It's a little small. There's only one park and it's small, and it just isn't quite enough to be a kind of a major pull, unless you're a serious Disney completist,
yeah.
I would say.
So at the moment, go for Hong Kong and pop into Disneyland. Or wait 5 years and then go for Disneyland.
And then pop into Hong Kong. There you go. What a snappy way to finish. Yeah. So until next time, see you soon. Bye-bye.
See you real soon.